Good morning, Submerged Church. What a beautiful day outside. That's awesome. It's great to be here with you this morning. As Tyler shared, God has laid on my heart to share the message of the gospel and then just share it. You know, Nike has that swoosh, you know, like the swoosh thing. What's Nike's slogan? Just do it. Just do it. So as Tyler was alluding to, it's neat when we as believers can just share it, just share the gospel with others. I'm going to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, God, give me words this morning. It's been a humbling last several weeks preparing this message. God, you've spoken to me. You've shown me some of my shortcomings as far as times when I could share the gospel and I don't. God, I pray that we just would learn together. God, we'd hear from you this morning. And we would just have that enthusiasm, God, to share it, to share your word with the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Paul is on vacation with his family, and they're on their way home from California. They should be home this evening. So that's where Pastor Paul is with his family. And he had had a message here a few weeks ago, kind of dovetailed onto the back of Pastor Bob's message on taming the tongue. So as he was, you know, preparing to, you know, get his words out and said, you know, the tongue can be so dangerous. You know, we watch what we say. It can be hurtful. We just have to really tame our tongue. And I whispered over to my wife as he was sharing that. I said, hey, honey, you're going to want to take good notes today. So taming the tongue, you know, but she kind of ribbed me. She kind of knows I'm kind of a knucklehead sometimes. So, Pastor Bob is here today with his wife, Lila, and I saw Pastor Bob yesterday, and I'm just kind of wondering, Bob, I see Bob yesterday, and we're talking, and I said, oh, I'm just so thankful to be doing the message tomorrow, and it's like I think it's my third or fourth message, and I said, you haven't even heard me preach yet, and he goes, yeah, I'm going to, he was watching his son or grandson play baseball in Brainerd, Minnesota yesterday, so I see him this morning, we're neighbors now. He's going to pick up sweet Lila and see him in his truck. You're going to be at church? Yeah, I'm coming to church. So I started thinking as I'm driving to church, like, must have put a little seed of doubt in Bob's mind. It's like, I better go listen to this guy, see what's going on. So I'm so thankful that you're here this morning, Bob. It's great to have all of you here this morning. Some ask, what is the gospel? You know, what is the gospel? When I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with others, there are many times I will say, have you ever heard of the gospel? And they'll be like, is that like a church? Is that like a big church somewhere, right? Or they'll say, it's some form of religion, I think, right? I mean, they're not really sure what the gospel is. So the gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be going through these really, really rapidly. There's first few minutes, the insert in your bulletin. So if you snooze, you lose on those. If you're going to take notes, I pray that you will. Please take notes rapidly because they're going to be coming in a rapid fire session. Tyler read it this morning, but I would like to read again as the Apostle Paul shared in 1 Corinthians on 15 verses 1 through 5. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was risen on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Number two, on these bullet points, I want to give us, we should be really enthused to share the gospel, so I want just to give this really brief foundation of what we all should already know, but it's just, again, a great reminder of these bullet points. The gospel is not a religion. The gospel is not a religion. Religion is man's quest for God. The gospel is the Savior God seeking lost men and women. Romans 5, 8, up on the screen there, but God demonstrates in his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I told you these are going to be fast, these first section. Gospel, the gospel, number three, the gospel, it's free. The gospel is free. It's by grace that we are saved. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even the wealthiest people are so pitifully poor. There's a lot of wealthy people. My goodness, Bill Gates got a few dollars in his bank account. Mark Cuban, he's a gentleman that owns the Dallas Mavericks. He's got a good chunk of billions in his account. But they're so pitifully poor, they can't buy salvation. No one can. It can't be bought. It can't be earned by works. Story goes of an older man that was dying, and his son was at his bedside in his home. He was in home hospice, and the dad said to his son, "Hey, son, you know, when I die, I want," and he points over to his safe in the corner of the room and says, "I want to be buried with all of my money. It's just my request. I want to have all my money in that safe buried with me." And the son said, "Ah, yeah, Dad, I mean, I know you're sick and things, but there's so many things you could do with that money. So many, you don't have to leave it to me, but so many good things that you could do sharing that money with others." And he goes, "No, I want all my money in my coffin with me." So day of the funeral comes. He died shortly after. He's at the funeral, and a good friend of the son came up to him and said, "Hey, I'm really sorry to hear about your dad. You know, I'm really sorry to hear." And he goes, "But I was noticing the open casket there, and I see underneath your dad's hands, I see that you wrote him a check for $970,000. And he goes, "What's up with that?" And the son said, "It's a promise I made to my dad. I told him I would bury him with all his money." So that's what he did. He buried him with all his money. So salvation, it's incredible, is free. It's absolutely free. It's a free gift. It's by grace. No more, nothing less. By grace that we are saved. It's a free gift from God. When is the last time you paid for a birthday gift? When is the last time you paid someone for a Christmas gift? And the answer is you don't. It's free. It's a gift. It's a gift that others have given to you. Thus, again, with salvation, it's a free gift. It's by grace that we are saved. Number four, the gospel. It's for anyone and everyone. The gospel is for anyone and everyone. The Bible says clearly in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. Salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Number five, the gospel, it happened once. It happened once for all of time. Again, by grace we have saved. Christ died on the cross once, one time, and that is all that is needed. And then for grace that we are saved. Romans 1:16, I shared that with you earlier. Let's look into the grace part of it by the blood shed by Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. In Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that not by works, so that no one can boast." And number six, the gospel. You can receive it. You can receive it. All can receive the gospel. In John 1:12, we read, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And finally, on these first full bullet points of what the gospel is, the gospel, it's simple. The gospel really is very simple. It's composed of two parts. It's the first part is Christ died for our sins, number one. Second part is Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he is risen today. It's just the simple part of it. It's not hard or complicated. Oftentimes before I come to worship on Sunday mornings, I'll turn on Channel 6 TV here in WDAY TV. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And if you're ever just eating cereal or whatever you're doing, getting ready to come to church on Sunday morning, the Christian Worship Hour is on Channel 6 here in Fargo. And the pastor that shares the gospel each Sunday is 97 years of age. Literally, Pastor Harold Salem is 97 years old, and he is still on fire for the Lord and preaching the word every Sunday morning. So it's so fun I just like to have him on in the background when it works. And on one of his broadcasts, he's from Aberdeen, South Dakota. That's where he does his Christian Worship Hour broadcast, in a little studio in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I was listening to one of the broadcasts, and he was just saying, it just caught my ear how he was saying, it's so simple. He goes, I share the gospel with people all the time on the street corner, out in the grocery store, and it's just so simple. Some people make it so hard and so complicated, but it really is a simple, simple message. So he said one day he shared the gospel on the street corner with a gentleman, just standing there talking on the street corner. And word for word, I had to spin this back and get this down because it was such an awesome prayer that this man prayed after listening to Pastor Salem share the gospel with him. And the man prayed this on the street corner in Aberdeen, South Dakota. He started his prayer by saying, "Hello there, God. I'm here on this corner of 6th and Main in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And Jesus, I know I've been a screw-up and a mess-up my whole life, and I just want to ask you to forgive me. Like the preacher guy here said, I do believe you died for my sins and saved me. So I'm just kind of asking you right now if you wouldn't mind coming into my heart." "Okay then, goodbye." And that was his prayer. You see, it's so simple. God knew this man was on 6th and Main in Aberdeen, South Dakota. It doesn't matter that he said, "Hello, God, what's up?" Or it doesn't matter that he said, "Goodbye." That God knows the man and woman, every boy and girl's hearts. He knows their hearts. God knows our hearts. So praise God for the simplicity of the gospel if we just asked to receive it. Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. For it is with your heart that you believe and that you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's just so humbling to share this message. I alluded to that earlier. Tyler talked about it as well. I'm glad you shared what you shared, Tyler. I just feel that the Lord led you to get right into seamless what I was going to share on that piece of it, about sharing the gospel. There are so many times I'm in sales business, and I'm selling all day long, and sometimes I just get so many presentations and different things I'm doing, I just kind of get hoarse from talking. I'm just at 5 or 6 o'clock, I just want to just stop talking. I just don't even want to do anything. I don't want to see anybody for a while. Well, honey, I'd see you, but I just want to kind of decompress. You know, just like I've been talking, and like you got to just in sales, you should be or try to be on your game, you know, the whole day long. It's like, it really can wear you out. So truth be told, as I was putting together this message, I thought, man, God, it got a hold of my heart. It's like, man, you are lazy sometimes, Don. You just, when it comes to me, you're so lazy sometimes. You know, I give you opportunity, and then you just like, you leave Hornbacher's and think, I'm just gonna go home. But there's a chance out there. There's a little chance out there. There's the thread of a possibility of sharing the gospel. And I, truth be told, I just get lazy. So God's got a hold of my heart from preparing this message that I would just get more aggressive and not so lazy at times when opportunities can present themselves. Another weakness that I have, I'm sharing a couple weaknesses so I can get into the point of why I'm doing that. I want to be transparent with you. Another weakness I have is scripture memorization. I have scripture memorized, and I know verses that I have memorized, but just not enough of them. I know there's times when I am in that opportunity to share God's word, and it's like, oh man, I know I've heard this before. Then I'm thinking, man, if I had Bob's brain, it'd be just awesome. I don't know if you've ever heard Bob do a message on scripture memorization, but he did a message. I think it was up in Grand Forks, Bob. This was years ago, and I'm sitting there. I mean, my jaw is just like at the floor. Just the entire message, Bob was reciting scripture and memorization, and I'm going, man, I just want to be better at that. I want to be a better memorizer of scripture. So the point I'm sharing with that is to set the table is I still share the gospel, and I want to do it more. But the point is, I think sometimes we can be lacking of confidence maybe, a little lazy maybe, or lacking of confidence. And this might sting a little bit, but I think if given the opportunity or making the opportunity even that you can, which I'm going to talk about next, is creating the opportunity to share the gospel, I think if we lack the confidence, this might sting a bit, but I think then we lack trust. I really believe that we lack trust that God would lay those words on our lips that we could share with those folks that are in front of us. So I just think that lack of confidence sometimes is just, I know in my life it's happened when I, early days when I was kind of scared or nervous to share the gospel, I think it was just that lack of trust. I just didn't trust that God would put the words on my heart. And as Tyler shared, it just does happen. It just does happen once you start to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It comes, he's in your, if your heart's in the right spot and you're sold out, you can't goof it up. I'm here to tell you, you cannot goof up sharing the gospel. If your heart's right, if you've prayed and your heart's in the right spot that you actually want to share the good news, share the gospel with that individual, you just can't goof up. God will give you the words. You might stumble a little bit. You might say something that didn't sound just perfect, but doesn't matter. If you're sold out and your heart's in the right spot, I want to encourage you to, you can't mess up when you share the good news, the gospel. You've heard Pastor Paul say when we've been going out to do outreach on Wednesday nights, we went to West Acres here a while back, and the park, wherever we go, Pastor Paul will say this, you're going to get a lot of no's. You're going to get a lot of people saying no tonight. All of us collectively as a group, we might all get no's, but it doesn't matter. If we get those no's, it doesn't matter. Every no is still bringing glory to God because we're out there sharing his word. So the next slide, the different ways or the steps to share the gospel, I look at it like breaking the ice. First of all, the first would be to break the ice. So if you want to go, Lydia, think to the next slide. People in anything, I know in my sales job, in my sales business, if I roll in there and say, here's what we can do for you, we can provide you these great employees at this bill right here, here's the contract, you want to sign it right now. That just doesn't, it doesn't work in the sales world. They need to be to sold. They need to be sold. They need to be to talk, to be talked to. So their heart and their mind has to be open to listen to you. So that's the first piece, is just breaking that ice, getting that barrier of, because a lot of times they're total strangers for the most part. You're probably sharing the gospel a lot of times with total strangers. Of course, we want to share the gospel with family and friends and coworkers and all of those folks too. A lot of times it can be a total stranger. So it'd be really awkward, like, let's see, Lila. Okay, Lila, you're married to a pretty good guy. Okay, pretty good guy, Bob is. Pretty great guy. So when you first met Bob, the first time you met him in person, do you remember when that was? Okay, let's just say hypothetically, hi, I'm Bob, and what's your name? And I'm Lila, and you're talking for 30 seconds. After that 30 seconds, Bob says, hey, listen, Lila. Listen, Lila, could you marry me? You know, can you even picture that? Can you even imagine in relationships if that were to happen? You'd probably run. I think I know some of the story. You did kind of try to run for a while anyway. But, didn't you, Lila? Wasn't it kind of like you ran a little bit? Okay. Well, you probably would have ran faster if you said, hey, would you marry me? Like, you know, right out of the gate. So it's a little awkward. That would be a little awkward in a relationship if that happened that way. So the same when we're out talking to people, it might be a little awkward to, you know, meet someone for the first 20, 30 seconds and then just immediately just dive right in there and say, hey, I'm Don from Submerged Church. Hey, listen, buddy, you die tonight. You going to heaven or not? I mean, what's the scale of 1 to 10? What, do you think you'll make it? I mean, that's pretty awkward, a little bit awkward, a little bit, you know, folks might think, oh, man, this is kind of crazy. I might seem a little bit weird to them. That's probably the case anyway. But they might be a little bit standoffish, a little bit like not open and receptive. So I will tell you from my experience that it's the old sales world stuff that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we're all built that way, and we all can sense it We just want people to care about us a little bit, and then we're more apt to want to listen to them, to whatever they're sharing, in this case, the gospel. And no two conversations have ever been alike. I mean, our seasoned pastor, Bob, here this morning, you're here this morning, Bob, I'm going to use you. So when you've shared the gospel, Bob, all these years, have any two conversations with different people ever been the same? They never, ever are. And there's reasons for that, because people are all different. Circumstances are all different. They're just all different. But the one thing that is consistent is God's word. God's word is consistent all the way through, and we can't mess up if our heart, again, is in the right spot to share the gospel. A couple of gospel icebreakers that that I would maybe share with you that have worked well for me. It all goes back to, we're selling the gospel. We are out selling the gospel. When Pastor Bob or Pastor Paul is up here on Sunday morning, they're selling the good news of Jesus Christ. They're selling the gospel. They're sharing the Bible. They're teaching. They're mentoring. So they're selling us on that, if you will. So in the sales world, in my world, in my business, it's an acronym that I've used for a long, long time, ever since I first learned it. It's FORM. FORM is the acronym, and it's family, and it's occupation, and recreation, and money. These are the things people like to talk about. People, their favorite subject is themselves. Don't let anybody kid you. People loved to talk about themselves. So if you can open that door and get just a little bit of that family, the occupation, the recreation, the money, and get that heart and that mind to open up, first to listen to you as a human being, and then we'll get that to that in a second, where we can get the word of God to them. So the family thing, it's so simple. There's little kids are running around like, hey, these are your kids? Oh, man, they're so cute. Oh, yeah. Oh, how old is she? She's three. Oh, that's pretty neat. Are these your kids? No, these are my grandkids. Grandkids, man, looks like they'd be your own kids. You look so young. I mean, you just get talking with them, and you just get visiting. Occupation, you get. So what do you do for a living? I'm in farming, and Laura, the other Laura, Trude. Laura and Laura, we were out at West Acres Mall, and there was a gentleman that was from, I think, Ada, Minnesota. Do you remember where he was from? Man, I can't remember, but a little town in Minnesota, and we got talking to him in the open common area, and he said he was in farming. Then we went down the farming road. Hey, my dad used to farm, and we were just talking to him about the farming business, and he likes to come out to the mall and people watch, and that was a great conversation that God gave us that night with that gentleman. I think it was it Harold? Because I was praying for him, and then was it okay? Then I was no that night. Who was I with that night? Charlton, I was with you and your sweet wife. Yes, Laura. Sorry, that was another one. We were out. Well, we've done a few outreaches, so that's right, Charlton. We were you and I and Tia were. What was his name? Curtis. Yeah, you prayed for him since. Yeah, I did the first few days, and then you kind of get going on for things, but I was praying that God would get a hold of his heart, because he took the word from us, and it's get going on so many stories there, but it was an awesome visit with Curtis, the guy in farming. Recreation, you can just, if you're at that mall outreach, or you're at West Acres, or you see someone out, hey, that's a nice baseball glove. You play baseball? Well, the Twins could probably use you, and just get talking about, recreation things, and we love, most people like to kind of have conversation and talk. It's just talking, just getting to know them a little bit, or the money part of it. What brings you to the mall tonight? You're gonna spend a lot of money tonight, I bet, huh? You're gonna out shopping. What do you got going? And then you're off to the races. Once you get that ice broken with those with some icebreakers. So once the ice is broken, then it's time to go fishing now. Now we've busted through, right? We've busted through the ice. Now we can go fishing. And then when the fishing part is, like Curtis, that for example, that night, you say, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. And he goes, oh, Curtis, thank you, Charlton, for reminding me. And then we'll say, hey, I'm Don, and this is Charlton and Tia, and we're from Submerged Church, and we're just doing some outreach tonight. Have you ever heard of outreach? What that is? And no, I haven't really heard of that. And then we just explain. Then you're just visiting what outreach means. If I'm alone, which more times than I'm alone when I've done share the gospel, I always like to ask, hey, Curtis or Leroy, whoever, Leroy, hey Leroy, where do you go to church? And I don't really attend church. Oh, you don't, huh? It's the assumption in sales. It's the assumption close. You're just assuming that everybody goes to church, but tragically, not a lot of people do attend regular worship services. But so, hey Leroy, where do you go to church? I don't really go to church. Oh, you don't? How come? And then you're off on a conversation, and it'll lead, and it'll keep asking questions. You can learn so much by asking questions. If you're maybe a little shy to share the gospel, just ask questions. Just start drumming up a bunch of questions on your own in your own personality, and just kind of get good at asking questions, because people will answer them, and it will just go off into many, many different awesome conversations. Or they might say, hey, do you go to church? Where do you attend church, Leroy? I go to St. Joe's Catholic Church over on Moorhead. Oh, okay, great, great. But at St. Joe's, like on morning worship service, do you guys like talk a lot about heaven and hell? Do you much conversation about that? Oh yeah. There's talk about that. Now, I know it's hot there. I know that much. And you know, they got a little bit of this. It depends on where the conversation they'll lead you to it. So then now you're in a position where you can talk about, hey, Leroy, I don't know if you ever thought of this, but have you ever thought if you were to die tonight, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think you'd enter heaven? 10 is a guaranteed lock. You're going to heaven. What do you think your number would be? For those of you who share the gospel with people, isn't it amazing? What's the number one number? What's the number one number you hear? 1 to 10. 7 or 8. It's amazing that 7 or 8s just roll out there. And I don't know why. I must figure 3/4 of a shot, I'm gonna get in, you know. But for whatever reason, I hear a lot of 7s or 8s. So now that you got that conversation going, and you can have this discussion. So I'll say, hey Leroy, it's about 80% shot you'll get to heaven. Yeah, 80%. And why do you think that is? Why do you think it's not 100? You're talking. And then I like to use the analogy. I'll say, hey Leroy, sometimes I've been off to the mountains. I'll ask him, if you've ever been up in the mountains or in mountain roads, you know, treacherous mountain roads. If you've ever been on mountain roads, some of them like in Denver and things that just, there's no rails on a lot of these roads. It's like, it's death. I mean, you go off there, it's not good. It's, you fall hundreds and thousands of feet to your death. So I said, hey, have you ever been like in the mountains and driving in the mountains? He goes, oh yeah, no, not a fan of that. I said, let's just say you're up in Denver, you're on a tour bus, and they get you to the top of the mountain, and tour bus breaks down, but you got to get back down to Denver, to the city, and you got to get to your meetings or your vacation or whatever. And there's Hertz rental cars there, and they got 10 cars left. And they say, yeah, we can rent you a car. And you say, great, I'd love to rent a car. And the Hertz guy says, well, I got 8 of them that are very, very reliable. I mean, it's kind of treacherous getting down to the bottom of the mountain, but 8 are super reliable. 2 of them, we've been having problems, like the front wheels are falling off. It's like a bad deal. But I got 10 of them out there, and if you'd like to give me your credit card, Leroy, I'd love to rent you a car. I'm just not sure which one has the wheel problems. Would you rent that car? Think about it. Probably not in a million years. You're thinking to myself, I got a 1 in 5 chance of the car I'm going to go down that hill and could take me right off the edge. So then Leroy, thou in this example, his mind's a little open up like, yeah, that'd be pretty risky. I said, but eternity, think about it. 8 out of 10 shot of making it to heaven. I mean, that's pretty risky, Leroy, isn't it? It kind of doubts a terrible thing. And he goes, yeah, it is, man. And most of the time, then when they're at that stage, that person, then you can say, yeah, these are the most awesome Bibles ever. The New American Standard version of the Bible with the, I'll talk about this right now, how I do this, but this is just, God invented, it's God's word. God wrote the Bible. This is just fantastic. this little New American Standard Bible. They're on the back table. If you need them, we can get you them. We can get you hundreds of them if you'd like to share the gospel with people. These are an awesome tool. So, and I'll say, hey, Leroy, would you mind if I spent like 4 or 5 minutes with you? Just letting you know, you don't have to do anything I tell you tonight or today, but do you mind if I spend 4 or 5 minutes just sharing with you the recipe on how you can 100%, 10 out of 10, know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? Would you mind if I just took 4 minutes and just left these thoughts with you? And a lot of times it's like, I guess so, yeah, sure, go ahead. Or it'll be no, I got no interest. And then you can leave a wristband or leave one of our little business cards with the scripture on it, or leave Leroy a Bible, wherever God is leading you for the in that particular situation. But if Leroy says yes, which wonderful when someone says yes, and say, hey, Leroy, it's going to take just a few minutes. I'd like you to, this is Romans 3:23. It's a book in the Bible. Just this little section here. All I want you to read is just the black part. If you could just read that to me, Leroy. And Leroy, a lot of times they'll say, okay, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay. It's amazing when they are reading God's word, the difference that their heart can be and where their mind can be. So once Leroy has done that, and if they don't, if Leroy says, nah, I don't really want to read that to you, and I know this is you, Laura. We were at the park. We talked to those sweet Muslim ladies. Thank you. I was glad. I'm glad it was you know, yeah. And this young high school girl was with her parents, with her mother, and she did read the first two or three passages, but then she kind of had enough of that business. And then we were able to read the rest to her. I think we read all the rest to her, but it was powerful when she was reading it. She was like, so it's like, what does that mean, Leroy? What you just said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? And Leroy says, I mess up. I mean, I guess we all goof up. I mean, that's sin. I screw up a little bit. Yeah. What about and fallen short of the glory of God? What do you think that means, Leroy? And he'll say, I'm not quite sure. And depending on, now this is where I want to be careful. Depending on how you're reading the personalities, and we want to be have grace, we want to be soft, and we want to be gentle. But depending on if you got a brash, hardcore personality, which I had talked to someone recently, and he was just a know-it-all, and he just knew it all. So I just kind of went with personality, and I said, hey, Leroy, where it says for falling short of the glory of God, what do you think that means? He goes, I'm not quite sure. I said, it means you're not in. You don't go. It means you enter the day you die and your spirit goes to heaven instantly. You're at heaven's gates meeting God, our Father. He says, no, I don't know you. I don't know you, Leroy. That's what that means. Falling short. He goes, well, can't be that rough, can it? Yeah, it can, and it is. So then, if you get the opportunity to go through all six passages, it's just a wonderful experience if you're able to do that, and they are playing along with you and allowing that to let you share that gospel. It's just fantastic. So then, basically, after you break the ice, just to recap and close, after you break the ice, and then you are fact-finding with them. You've broken the ice, number one, and I'm just going to make sure I don't screw this up. I'm going to go back to my own notes here. So now you broke the ice, and then you fished for information, and now you've fed them. You've fed them some of God's word. So that's the stage it's at. So then hopefully you will have opportunities to, you can pray with them. You can would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? I mean, you just take the close or the opportunity that God sets before you, and God will set the proper opportunity before you. Along these conversations, boy, it's a good thing you're here this morning, Bob. I was going to reference you anyway, but I used to work for Bob years ago, and I learned long ago, Bob is the master of storytelling. He's just has a great gift of storytelling, and I learned so much from Bob when I was in the insurance business with him, and then from his teachings about telling that story, that third-party story, is so powerful. So one of the stories that I like to use for the proud people, so when you run across the proud people, is the story of the car breaking through the ice. So this is a conversation I had with, a lot of you might know his name, so I'll call the person Doug. Doug has this, I was eating lunch with Doug one day years ago. He's got this fancy red sports car, and he's a very proud young man, and he likes to drive 130 miles an hour all the time. And so we're just sitting there talking, and he definitely no time at that time in this gentleman's life, no time for God, did not like to hear the word God. It was really offended him, really. He was offended by when he would talk about God or asking to pray before a meal. He just, no part of it. So I asked him one day, I said, you don't want any part of God. You don't believe in God at all. Not even a shred. And he goes, no, don't need him. I don't even think he's real anyway, but don't need him. I got things under control. I said, just a very proud man. So I said, okay, you're driving that car. It was spring and there was ice in the ditches. The water was lapping the shoulder, literally on coming up onto the interstate. I said, you drive that car 130 miles an hour up to Grand Forks. And you're on the interstate, you're driving 130, and you have a blowout with your tire, you end up upside down in the water, and he goes, well, first of all, I got the best tires money can buy, I'm not going to have a blowout. I mean, just such a proud, proud man. So I said, you know, okay, play with me a little bit. Does anything ever break on a car? Does any part ever break, Doug? And he goes, well, yeah, I guess it happened, parts, sure. So let's say a part breaks, and you're traveling on, you'd fast like you like to drive, part breaks, and you flip over, roll over, and you're upside down in the water, in frigid water, and you're submerged in water. And you cannot get out of that car. And he's kind of smirking a little bit as we're talking, and you can't get out of the car. You're upside down now, and your seatbelt somehow got lodged with the impact, and you can't break loose. You can't get your seatbelt off. I said, what do you do? I said, there you are. The water's coming in. Now it's coming up your chest. He goes, I'd break out the window. Doug, you can break out the window all you want, but you can't get out. You cannot get out of your seatbelt. Because he just wasn't, his mind was just not there. Just so, you know, a lot of pride and arrogance. So he said, okay, I got you. So now you're upside down, and that water's coming in, Doug. And now it's coming up to your neck, and it's getting colder, and you're trying to strap that seatbelt. You can't get out. And now it's touching the bottom of your chin and you can't get out. And now it's touching your lip and you're suddenly realizing, I'm going to drown here. I cannot get out of this car. I said, who do you cry out to? What do you cry out to, Doug? What do you do in that moment? And his in this case, his arrogance and pride went from all of that to melted away significantly. And he goes, I guess I'm done. I said, yeah, you're done. But I will tell you when that water's on your lip, Doug, you're going to cry out, God, save me. Please, God, save me. That's what you're going to do. That is what you do in that example. And I guarantee it. And you know why I guarantee it? Because you are wired to God. Every one of us is wired to God. Not everyone is a child of God. That's someone that's a believer in Christ. But we're all wired to God. That is why you would cry out, Doug, to God, in that case, to save you. And ever since then, we'd go to lunch, and he's not saved yet. This young man is still not saved yet. He's getting to be older now. He's 34. But when we go to lunch now, I say, hey, Doug, you mind if I pray before the meal? Yeah, absolutely. So he's softened, but he's not there. The last example I would show you, I want to show you these coins up here. Tom Short. And this is the last one I'll share with you. Get have a great example for people that are the Big Bang Theory people and the evolution people that believe in that. And some of you might have heard Pastor Tom Short's teachings on this. And I've used this many, many, many times ever since. I love this example. So Tom said, you got coins in your pocket, and I don't always have them, but I usually have them in my bag. The opportunity arises, and you line up it's not exactly straight, but it's almost perfectly straight. The quarters are on the top, the dimes, the nickels, and the pennies. 12 coins. So the evolution people just believe it all kind of just banged together and bounced around, and we just got, we can hear, and we can taste, and we can touch, and we can feel. It just all kind of came together. So as Tom Short shared that day, I just thought, this is a great example. He said, what if you took these coins, you got them all lined up, and that's a creator. In this case, you do the creating, you make them. I created this little deal here with these coins, and first it's quarters, and it's dimes, nickels, and then pennies. So what if you took all of those coins, and he said, Tom said at the time he does preaching on campuses. He said, I've been in the parking lot, I'll take those coins, and I'll say, what if I took these coins, and I threw them up in the air 30 feet, as high as I can throw them up, as high as I can, and then they just land and splatter in the parking lot, and ding, 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 and splash all over. What are the odds of them lining up just like that? Laura says, no. I mean, well, there's got to be a chance, right? What are the probabilities? In other words, the probabilities, you know, if you're not stubborn and you're half receptive, it ain't going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. That's if you, I mean, here's all those coins right here. Kids can pick these up later. But even if you just go a little bit, just a little ways, there's just no way. Doesn't even make sense. They're not going to just line up. And then if they did, they're all heads. These are all heads. And they're all in order of denominations of largest to smallest. It's never going to happen. So I had one talk with a real stubborn lady, and she was, you know, a professor, or I think she was a professor at one time, and just terrible conversation, really. It wasn't a fun conversation at all, but just so, you know, it's in science. We already know it's science. It's already proven, you know, evolution is proven. I said, proven? Where's proven? Well, it's in the science books, and have you ever noticed the science books change like every 5 or 6 years is like a new version of the science book. It's not really proven. But I think at the end of that little example, she said, I'll give you that. I mean, it's, you know, maybe it'd be probably pretty tough for them all to line up. You know, I guess there's maybe a creator of some sort, but I think evolution's the deal. But anyway, you plant a little seed that maybe she can take that and hopefully run with it. So we got to end here. I'm looking, if you want to come up again, music team, I'll just close in prayer here. But thank you for listening to the gospel message today. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that it's unending, never changes, God, and it's real, and it's the word of God. God, thank you for this time we could have this morning. God, may we leave here bolder, braver, and just enthused, God, just energized to have opportunities to share your word with the lost. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.